Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It is Dukes and Bell. There's so much that has already happened on this show. Where have you been? We start at 2 o'clock. You're just tuning in right now. You're late. Get the Odyssey app. That way you can tune in all the time. You can take us wherever you go, and you can listen. Whether you're walking a dog, whether you're at the gym, no matter what. We started today talking about a comment from Jeff Ulbrich, our defensive coordinator, in regards to when he became the head coach and truth-telling and how things get, you know, hidden from the head coach. And he was saying, I've got to be a truth-teller here for Raheem Morris. And it's one of the things that, you know, I learned in that process. We'll get back into that because it's very interesting. And then, you know, he said, look, this is going to start about a two-week digestion period of what we're going to try to review and maybe what we're going to do, but I got to see what they did. And that's good. We want to see him evaluate what he thinks. You, Mike, you always talk about a fresh pair of eyes.
Right.
Here you go. Because again, he wasn't here. Yeah, he may be familiar with some of the stuff they were running, but at the end of the day, I got to see the players and were these guys making the plays that they should have been making. That's the deep dive he's got to do. But Mike, you know, the other part of this is, you know, you look at some of the collapses we had. Why did it happen? What happened in the Commanders game, the Broncos game, the Panthers game? We could go down the list. Panthers game still fits wrong in my craw. But
I know.
You got to look at all that
stuff.
Well,
I mean, like, you know, Ruka wrote 11 tackles in 8 games when he finally got out there. His first start was against – or first time he was on the field was back against Tampa Bay in that overtime when that thriller on a Thursday night. But what does he get from that? You don't have anything on Braylon Trice other, you know, than, you know, again, he got hurt in the preseason game against the Dolphins. Dorless was, you know, again, so again, I don't know how you evaluate some of these guys that you haven't really had a chance to see what they can do. And certainly there's some decisions. We talked earlier about the free agents and unrestricted free agents, restricted free agents, and some decisions the Falcons, a lot of guys think they're going to move on from.
All right, more on that to get to. Lauren Williams is going to join us. She covers the Hawks for the AJC, AJC.com. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, Hawks lose last night. They're back at it tonight against the Rockets. And then they are at Cleveland, at Indiana this weekend. And then they have to play Detroit. Like, this is going to be a tough stretch. You get the Spurs and Wimby as well. But we are kind of banged up. We'll talk with Lauren about all of that and much more. Right now, let's talk some dogs. Look, I don't know how good Gunnar Stockton's going to be. I hope he's really good. But this sample size is too small for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know what he did in the SEC championship game, and he came in, and what he did was maintain the lead. He didn't give it up and certainly didn't throw, you know, 3 or 4 interceptions, but they didn't ask him to do all of that. He took a shot that some people say, man, I don't even know how he got up. We think he's really tough and really smart, but Mike, he knows the importance of getting more reps and talking about, you know, playing time. And he was asked about, you know, one of the areas where he could improve. And he said, look, I need more reps. It comes with reps. I could have done a better job in terms of game management and, you know, clock and all the things that go along with playing the position. I think some people see that and they go, well, was the last guy not as focused in Carson Beck? Is that why he had issues this last season?
Well, I mean, as we said, it's as Arthur Smith would say,
surface narrative.
A convenient narrative. Yeah, I mean, if you were like lukewarm on Carson Beck, and based on Dukes and Bell research and our unscientific poll, 50% of you never believed in Carson Beck. yeah, then you could say, as we had fun with it, goes, say, that's where I'm going right there. See, right there, Gunnar Stockton driving his grandpappy, his Ford F-150. Don't need no Lamborghini, no card engine, a valve.
I am calling Turtle. Carson Beck a bum.
Yes, I remember
that. There's a lot of people that were circling around. They never, the knives were out for Carson Beck.
You started it.
Well, I mean, I didn't believe in him.
He was a game manager.
You said all of those
things. That was edited, by the way. That was totally out of context.
I don't remember that.
I just felt the guy was just the dude, you know? I mean, I don't know that he was the dude, just a dude.
A dude.
I think he's a game manager.
See, yeah, it is. Those are the things you said.
I stand on those comments because he's not here anymore. And we'll see what he does with the U. I could care less. But Gunnar Stockton, I'm with you. Guys, if you're a Georgia fan and you can call right now and say you definitively believe that Gunnar Stockton is going to be successful, you don't know. I'm not saying he's not, but there's no way that we can be that man right now either.
Yeah, the rep thing is true. The Bulldogs had, 39 seconds left in the half. They want to try.
Yes, too much of them. Too much. You got to have this. I mean, and this goes back to, look, Kirby is, let's be honest, Carl. If anything, Kirby's always going to be very conservative, close to the vest. That was so out of character. And I just to think, I know they had two timeouts in their pocket, but Notre Dame was living in your backfield.
The score is 6-3. It's not 17-3.
Take it to the locker room and figure it out.
That's it. That was the one thing.
And only one thing you could do that'll make it bad.
And you did, right.
And then, of course, the kick return to start the second half, and the game's over.
But that's how it stockpiles on you. It can get up on you pretty quickly. But he did talk about that as far as, feeling like he could have done a better job. But I also think your coach has to put you in a position to do a better job. Either way, the reps are going to come. We know that with the spring, and he'll be seeing a lot of time, Mike. But I also think that it is a little bit unfair to say Carson Beck was not focused. I will say that Carson Beck certainly didn't play up to his capabilities in a lot of those games. But it's easy to get caught up with all this NIL stuff, Mike, and the distractions, and say, oh, well, he could have done a better job, but that's because, he was driving this, or his girlfriend has a twin sister, and they're owning Miami. Whatever. I don't get involved in all of that. All I know is the games he didn't play well, that's what I chalk it up to. He didn't play well. Like, he played well the second half of Alabama. Why? Why did that happen the way it did, Mike, when he played so well in the second half but didn't in the first half? I don't know. But I am curious, and I can't wait to see what Gunnar Stockton is going to look like. And I do think that toughness thing, Mike, went a long way with his teammates. Like, the way that he played in that SEC championship game, I think that for the guys that are coming back, that this guy's going to be out there and playing his heart out.
Now, last year you had Clemson, and look, certainly Clemson redeemed themselves after a rough start against Georgia by, winning the ACC. I mean, it happened. They could make in the playoff. But this year, guys, much easier, as you guys know. It's Marshall, and then it's Austin Peay. So it's a good chance. Remember, guys, you're replacing four guys on the starting offensive line.
You need some time.
And we're not talking about Sam Pittman or Matt Luke. No disrespect to Stacey Searles. I'll say it again. It hasn't been the same unit since those guys have moved on.
You want him gone too, don't you?
I want the best you can get.
You want him gone too.
What is Gillette, the best a man can get? What is the best Kirby can get? Is this the best you can get?
Keep bringing up Searles. You want him out of here.
I just wonder, is there somebody doing a job? Carl, is there somebody out there doing offensive line better in the country? Well, if it's too late. Coaching cycle, they would have hired him by now. They're not bringing anybody in. So there you go. Good news is you got a slow ramp up with Marshall and Austin Peay. We also found out yesterday Georgia Tech's schedule got released. Georgia will be playing on Black Friday at Mercedes-Benz.
You like it?
I think two things. Tech makes more money. Good for Tech.
Yeah.
I guess you could argue that, whether Tech fans admit it or not, a lot of fans will find their way in that stadium that are Georgia fans. Whether Tech sells their allotment or Georgia just buys tickets on Ticketmaster step up. So, yeah, more Georgia fans get to watch their team in Atlanta. So I think it's a win-win. And Georgia, I think Tech makes like $8 or $10 million on that
team. Yeah, look, I think it is a win-win. And here's the other thing. If you're Georgia, you're like, well, that's great. It's like our second home. They live in Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
So it's not that big of a deal to think, hey, we'll probably be back here, or at least they hope to be, for the SEC championship.
Now, we know that Haynes King is back for Tech. That was announced three or four weeks back. Longer than that, we also know that Georgia Tech's going to start the season in Colorado, taking on Deion and Coach Prime Time. Will it be Juju Julius, Julian Lewis from Carrollton? Or it looks like, and I just looked it up, it sounds like, from guys who follow the program, Colorado, Caden Salter, who was backing up Shador, he was at Liberty, and he rushed for over 1,000 yards, threw for over 25 and change.
Mm.
So they got a real stud dual threat guy that can step in. But either way, Colorado, be curious to see how much Deion reloads not having his son and not having Travis Hunter there.
Yeah.
But that's the first game of the season for Tech.
Look, I think it's a tough spot because Deion has installed, and we're going to find out, a culture, right? Are the players going to be better? Is the quarterbacking going to be better? We have to see. Mike, you gave some examples of, or at least we talked about potential guys that may start. But I'll tell you this. With Haynes King coming back, I like Georgia Tech's chances going out there like that.
Right on. By the way, you've been out there. You used to live out there. Yeah. How cool is that? I've heard great things about that campus. Never been to Boulder.
Yeah, my sister actually went out there, which is why I ultimately got a chance to go out there. It's beautiful. It is.
So for Tech fans, in the summer, end of the summer, it'd be freaking great trip.
Best time to go.
Right.
Because the weather is still, again, you're in the mountains and, you know, the scenery is beautiful. But, yeah, cool. I'm not telling you to go out there in December.
unless you're bringing your skis.
Yeah, but if you're telling me, you know, August, even, you know.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
Late September or whatever. Man, it's gorgeous out there. Hey, real quick, we talked about the bowls being tied to the college football playoff schedule. You just mentioned Georgia playing Georgia Tech on Friday next year, or this season, should I say, in 2025. Just so you guys know, next year's championship game is at Hard Rock in Miami, okay? That's the national championship, and it's going to be around the same time, January 19th or so. This year was on the 20th. But the bowl tie-ins for the quarterfinal games, because remember, the first two rounds, or the first round is on campus. Cotton Bowl, December 31st, Orange Bowl, January 1st, Rose Bowl, and then Sugar. And those are the quarterfinal games. Then you get to the final, four. Right. And that's going to be Fiesta and Peach, which means we get a semifinal game here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium next year.
Right.
That could be Georgia again.
And, of course, South Florida is always drivable if you don't want to spend like $1,500 for a Delta ticket or anybody. Not blaming Delta. You know, it gets pricey in the holidays.
It does.
In January. But, yeah, it has added another layer. It is certainly more expensive, and I think if you're a Georgia fan, you're feeling optimistic, go online, go to hotels.com, go book your room down in Lauderdale. Make a statement today, despite the fact you don't know who's playing offensive line.
And you don't
know. You're hoping all your transfer portal wide receivers and everybody else can get after it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It'll be a fun season. All right, we got to take a timeout and come back and talk with Lauren Williams. What's going on with the Hawks? Why are they struggling? Is it as simple as saying injuries, or is there more to it? We'll find out what she thinks coming up next on Dukes and Bell. All right, let's talk some Hawks, and let's do it with Lauren Williams, who covers the Hawks for the AJC and AJC.com. Last night, they fall to the Minnesota T-Wolves, but I think the good news, Lauren, was, you know, DeAndre Hunter showed up in a big way, career high, right, 35 last night, but these injuries are just hurting the Hawks' ability to stay competitive and win games. But what did you think about last night in the effort? Because Coach Quinn obviously was like, look, we knew we were going to compete, and they did, but they came up 8 points short.
Yeah, I think last night was one of those tough losses, not in the sense that, you know, they got blown out or whatever it was, but just how much they fought, especially toward the end, considering all the chips that were stacked against them. It kind of reminds me of that win that they had against the Bulls, you know, a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, several key rotation players are out, but they're still showing that they can compete every night. But I think the big takeaway is that this Hawks team just isn't anywhere near ready to be a team that's a contender. If you have so many key players out, or if everybody in that first eight is a key player, that to me tells me that this is a team that probably can't sustain a long series if they're in a long playoff run. And so that's concerning. You definitely want this team to build up some better depth. I mean, they have some good pieces. We're seeing good things out of Vic Krejci. You talked about DeAndre Hunter and what he continues to do off the bench, but it just shows us that this team is still a little bit away from being a team that can contend.
Yeah, Lauren, they just can't stay healthy. You know, in years past, we've had these conversations as early as November and December, and this team looks, you know, as you know, oh wow, they can be a top five potential seed in the East, and just goes right out the window. And I guess you kind of answered the question, but is it like chicken and the egg? Do you feel Landry Fields and or the ownership feeling, well, this is not our year, so there's no reason, I mean, other than making moves that correspond and won't put you over a cap apron, they're not going to do much at the trade deadline, will they?
I feel like it's going to be one of those, you know, similar things that we've seen of years past. And Quinn Snyder has gone on the record several times saying that this team has a long runway, if you will. And so that to me tells me that this isn't the year that they're going to be making those flashy moves, even though, you know, it's concerning that they still don't have great draft position for the next couple of years. You know, they're still waiting to see what happens with that Sacramento pick. We're still waiting to see what happens with that Lakers pick, and whether those will convey. They have a pick swap in 2026, and then obviously they don't have a pick in 2027. So it's a weird position that they're in, but it seems like they know that they still have some moves that need to be done. It's just a matter of right now. I don't know how many assets this team has that would make it possible for them to do so. I mean, Clint has been playing as well defensively as we've seen him, but his offense is still, you know, not something that a lot of teams would jump at. And then obviously Bogdanović is having an incredibly down year. And usually at this point, he has that breakthrough game. And we thought that that was what would happen in that first matchup against Toronto. And then it seemed like he regressed again. So it's a tough situation. They're not going to be able to make a pick make a deal unless they're willing to give up a young piece. And I think right now that most valuable piece that they have is Onyeka Okongwu. Obviously, Larry Nance Jr. will always be a veteran that a team is going to look for in their locker room, particularly, as I mentioned, for those long playoff series. But right now, I mean, the Hawks don't have a ton of assets that make them one of those teams that you say, yeah, they're definitely a buyer at the deadline.
Lauren, any update or anything that you know about Jalen and the injury? What are the Hawks saying about his potential return? Is there a timetable? What's the deal there?
Yeah, they obviously gave us a not quite timeline a couple of weeks ago, or last week, excuse me. But I think the big thing is that it's a rough situation for him. Obviously, he was already dealing with that right injury to the shoulder. And, you know, we never even found out really what the extent of that injury was. I mean, I hear a couple of things here and there that maybe it's not necessarily a great thing to be in. And then he obviously injures the left one. So, you know, until we find out what the extent of both of those injuries are, I mean, it's hard to really predict the timeline. But from everything that I was hearing prior to him coming back before that Boston game, it wasn't a great situation. They were evaluating a lot of different things. And so I think we're still in wait and see mode as he continues to get evaluations, and then the Hawks will update us as appropriate.
Yeah, it's just tough because, you know, this year we fear, hey, he's going to figure he's going to be an all-star and going to take that next step. Lauren right. Williams with us from the AJC, guys covering the Hawks day in, day out. Gets hazard pay, Carl. Hey, what about any difference? Do you feel any difference with Okongwu versus Capella starting? Does that have any impact with 00 starting as opposed to coming off the bench?
You know, I think I've always said that I wish that you could somehow combine Onyeka's skills on the offensive end and Clint's skills on the defensive end and find one center. But honestly, I think Onyeka has been doing a phenomenal job in that starting unit. I know a lot of people look at the record since the Hawks moved in into the starting lineup. They're 0-5 since that. But I don't think that's the root cause of that. Obviously, the injuries are a huge, you know, issue. But I think last night just showed me why I've always been a little bit hesitant about saying that Onyeka is the starting center of the future. You see him going up against a guy like Rudy Gobert, who's massive, over 7 feet tall. And, you know, that's something that's the direction that the league seems to be trending toward in terms of their bigs. They're not going for those undersized, very mobile centers anymore. They're really and truly going for those guys who can have that sort of mixed skill set. You look at Victor Wembanyama, who's a pretty mobile center, but he's also lengthy and big and just a problem around the rim. You look at Brook Lopez, who, yes, he's a little bit older, but he can stretch the floor. Yeah. You look at Zach Edey. He's just massive and just takes up so much space. So I think I'm still hesitant to say that I think Onyeka is the starter for the future, but I've been seeing some really good things out of him, and you just hope he can continue to build on that.
All right, let's take a look real quick at the schedule. They play the Rockets tonight at Cleveland. We talked about at Indiana. Lauren, this schedule is not doing any favors with the way the Hawks are banged up right now, and especially in the Eastern Conference, you know? So what are they going to have to do to keep their heads above water here?
I think they're going to have to continue doing what they did last night, and that's competing hard every single night. I think those two games around against the Toronto Raptors were probably one of the more anomalies or unusual games that we've seen from this Hawks team in terms of this season, and them not really quite showing up to compete, maybe giving up a little bit. We haven't really seen that a lot from them this season. They show up to compete against everybody, and so I think they're going to have to get back to that sort of mentality of not being afraid or not playing down to whoever it is they're playing against. They're going to have to get back to that attitude of just being physical against everyone and out-muscling everyone, because that's how they get the benefit of the whistle, and that's how we've seen them win some of those early games. And so I think that's the key, especially with so many guys in and out of the lineup. And that's the only thing that really can be consistent, is that everybody that they call up, whether it's the G League guys, you know, whether it's Garrison Matthews coming off the bench, Beat Krejci continuing to do what he does, everybody has to show up. They can't rely on just anyone. And you hopefully, you know, that translates to Trey being able to trust more of his teammates, and those that trust converting into assists or points or scoring. Otherwise, right now, we don't know when Jalen Johnson is going to come back, if right. he's even going to come back. And so they're going to have to find somebody else who is going to be able to generate some of that scoring, because Jalen was that guy. And that starts kind of with DeAndre continuing what he did last night, Bogey snapping out of this slump, and maybe even Capella, too, hitting some more of those shots inside off the bench. So, yeah, it's going to take everyone, as they say.
It takes a village, Carl, to make the play-in. It's Lauren Williams with us here, guys. Our big picture, Reese Hoshea in the Young Stars yeah. game, which is cool.
Yeah.
But Trey, and he's been such, you know, I think the maturity thing, we've mentioned that a lot this year, talking to mm-hmm. you and the leadership and really, you know, taking guys under his wing like Reese Hoshea. Do you feel that, you know, maybe he's not going to say it. He's ticked off again. He didn't make, you know, the All-Star team. It's like, you know, you're on a team which now is kind of spinning its wheels, but he's in it. It's not like one day he's going to go to Landry Fields and go, trade my butt and pull a Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's definitely not Trey's MO. And we've talked a lot about his maturity over the course of this season. And I also think, you know, it's unfair to, you know, assume that because he wasn't named among the starters that he should just suck it up. But it's human to be disappointed, is it not?
Right.
But I think the next step for him, though, is how he uses it as fuel. And in the past, we've seen him sort of embrace that villain role, and especially when you think about that 2021 playoff run. And so it's just, how does he channel that disappointment into positive energy versus, you know, some of the things that we've gotten used to seeing him do. So, you know, he still has a chance to be named to the team as a reserve. I think the coaches, you know, are very, very much impressed with the step he's taken forward as far as maturing and being a team player and sharing the ball. But I do think he has some very stiff competition. I mean, the way Cade Cunningham is playing is just unbelievable. You know, you still have Damian Lillard, who is playing alongside Giannis Antetokounmpo and is doing a great job. Darius Garland. There's so many names that you can kind of rattle off that are deserving, just like Trey, of being an all-star. But I do think he has a good shot with just how he has sort of flipped the switch as far as the narrative about him being a selfish person.
Lauren Williams, continue to do a great job. She covers the Hawks for the AJC and AJC.com. Thank you so much for stopping by, and we'll have the game on tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, guys.
All right, coming up, Mike, we got some guy talk. We'll get back into our Falcons conversation for those who are saying, hey, what were you guys talking about earlier with the defense and Jeff Ulbrich? We're going to get into that. But what do we have coming up in guy talk?
Hey, man, further proof that Jerry Jones has lost his mind as far as the deep dive into hiring his new coach. You're not going to believe the intel he was looking for. And, Carl, if the Eagles are going to win this Super Bowl, they must become the first team to overcome the Kirk Cousins curse. We'll explain. Yeah, boy. Hey, man, hit the road on Friday. Plan ahead. I know some of you married guys got to come up with your cover story. I mean, you got to come up with some ways to juggle your schedule. We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, guys, 2 to 7. So join Dukes and Bell, man. Come in for some fellowship and fun. All right, the Eagles, we all know they're the worst fans on the planet. I've experienced it firsthand at multiple sporting events. They're not just Eagles games. And we talked about that just disgusting, reprehensible human being that was saying things that no man should say to a woman. That Packers fan a few weeks ago that went viral, he then loses his job, as well he should. Because, you know, if you got those kind of, you know, mental issues, you don't, and you can't be around other people in that kind of work environment. Either way, reason I bring it up is more further proof, unless you didn't already know, that Eagles fans are the worst. You may have seen the video now that goes viral. You won the NFC Championship game. You're going to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
You're leaving the link. You're leaving the stadium. You'd think you'd just be excited and happy. And hey, if you see a guy in a Commander's outfit, enjoy the ride back to D.C., pal. That's about it. That's fine. Like if I saw a Saints fan, if we played the Saints in the NFC Championship, and again, the guy's not mouthing off. Well, you might do that. I mean, no reason to really.
Nobody wants the job, by the way.
Yeah, no. By the way, the Saints still do not have a head coach.
Yeah, yeah. But you would say something respectable.
Yeah, I mean, but if a Saints fan, again, if the Saints, if guys, you know, if he's looking, if he's got those sad eyes, and you know his soul is busted and broken, you want, you know, unless you're a real mean person, go, enjoy that mega bus ride back to New Orleans, you dirtbag. Okay, I might say that. But again, but I'm not going to go over and start taunting a guy, flipping the bird, getting the phone out, taking pictures while you're saying things, all these things to him, where you got these two guys just trying to get the hell out of there. Eventually, one of the Eagles fans, by now I think you all seen the video, they grab his commander's beanie, his hat, and then they're basically playing keep away. They won't give it back to the guy. Like we're on the freaking playground. Because these guys are animals. They're Philadelphia fans. They're just awful people. When you were off, when your voice was out a few weeks ago, Chris and I was talking about that Packers, poor Packers fan sitting in the upper deck, and I said, hey, how about the 12 Eagles fans all sitting within earshot of this guy, telling him to say, enough's enough, pal.
Yeah, say something.
You know, they don't do that in Philadelphia. Because, yes, you can paint with a broad brush in Philadelphia, because what you see here is not the exception. It is the rule. They're just awful fans. So if you hadn't seen the video, it's gone viral. A lot of folks are saying they need to really double down and get some more security outside the stadium.
Security!
Now, real quick. Some guys say, well, it's so bad. It's the Mike Tyson defense when he was accused of raping the teen beauty pageant. Remember the defense goes, well, you should never have gotten a limo with him. It's Mike Tyson. Which is like, what?
Stupid, yeah.
So, yeah, in other words, I can't spend money if somebody from the Eagles puts a ticket out there on Ticketmaster or StubHub. And, you know, I wear my colors. I don't bet you, Carl. When I go to an opposing stadium, I don't sit there after a score, turn around to the entire section, go, yeah!
Suck it.
Suck it!
Yeah.
No, you don't do that.
Yeah.
You keep your head down. You maybe go, yeah, you know, you do a fist pump or something. So these poor slobs, if you've seen the video, you really feel sorry for these Commanders fans, and you were afraid it was going to go one step beyond to what happened to that poor Giants fan at Dodger Stadium a couple years ago.
Yeah, it should never turn to violence, number one. We know sometimes it does, but it should never get there. And to your point, listen, Mike, it's a mob mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this. You know, we act like it doesn't happen in our country. There are a few people who get going, and then those people get other people who get going.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you just said it, the entire section is on a particular fan, and nobody has the wherewithal or the common sense to say, oh, yo, yo, that's a little bit too far right there, man. Come on.
Right.
Like, nobody has the balls to say that. It is all about, I'm an Eagles fan, and you're an Eagles fan, and we got to kill it. And it just it ramps up to a point beyond control. I just feel like those are the situations. And yeah, why don't the Eagles have more security at their games? Seriously.
Right.
Why don't they?
I mean, it's just something that, you know, when we played the Eagles, I've talked about this. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. When we had that playoff game, it was actually the 17th season. It was January of 18. When Julio gets mugged in the end zone, no call, and the Eagles hold on to win. You know, it was just the worst. I talked to Carl. I literally, guy got right in my face. He said something to my wife. I punched him in the chest and just basically ran for Uber, called you, and I said, I never got to see the end of the game because the camera crew was, you know, the dolly was right in front of us at the goal line. But it was just miserable. They're just awful people. So further evidence. And as I said, I think you got a right to go to another stadium. I think there's kind of like a common sense for fans. You're not going to show your butt. You know, and sometimes there's people, don't get me wrong, if you come and sit next to me at a Falcon game and start just mouthing off from the jump, you deserve some verbal abuse. But you can't say anything that you wouldn't say in your household around kids.
Yeah.
There's got to be some kind of line there that you don't cross.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, that line doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the Eagles and trying to overcome the Kirk Cousins curse.
Which is?
Did you know that ever since Kirk became the starter in Washington back in 2015, no team that has lost to Kirk Cousins has been able to go on and win a Super Bowl.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Washington was it 2016? Missed the playoffs going 8-7-1 that year. They got a win over the Packers team that finished 10-6. That Packers team made the postseason, but Green Bay came up short, losing to the Falcons. Remember in that
blowout? Right.
Remember that year?
That's right.
One of the great games here. Subsequently, Kirk Cousins has beat other teams. Giants lose in wild card round. The Packers lose in NFC Championship. 17, they beat the Rams. Kirk Cousins beat the Rams. Rams lose in wild card. 18, the Eagles lose in divisional round. Lost to Cousins. 19, Eagles again lose in the wild card. 2020, Kirk Cousins beats the Bears with Minnesota in wild card round. The Bears lose in wild card round. Packers lose. Both teams lost to Kirk Cousins. 21, Steelers lose to Kirk Cousins, losing the wild card. Packers in a divisional game, losing the playoffs. But wait, there's more. In 22, the Dolphins lost in a wild card round. Giants and Bills lose in divisional rounds. All lost to Kirk Cousins. The only team that was able to snap the curse after making it to the Super Bowl last year, only to lose to the Chiefs, 49ers.
Interesting.
But basically, if you lose to Kirk Cousins in the regular season, you are not going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, did he play enough this year, though?
Well, we did, and Kirk generated a come-from-behind victory.
He did.
Saquon Barkley, and arguably the only mistake he made all year in Philadelphia,
did.
Drops that likely touchdown pass. Kirk takes us down the field, and all of a sudden we're feeling good about the Falcons.
Yeah. Are you leaning, by the way? I mean, it's way early. Are you telling me you're leaning three-peat here?
It's hard not to be overwhelmed by the balanced attack with the run game. Are they going to let Jalen Hurts cook? You know, are they going to get the A.J. Brown and the other receivers involved? Because I still think, look, Spags is a genius. We get that. You said it. You know, Mahomes is the secret sauce. But right now, if you ask me to bet, I'd take the Eagles. The Eagles are getting 2.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Right now, at this moment, I'm with you on that. And by the way, I want to see how this number changes.
Right.
Because the wise guys haven't yet to get in on this, Mike. I mean, they're sitting back chilling. They want to see where this is going to go. But that money's going to come in late. This number could move.
Hey, we all know that Jerry Jones has lost his fastball. It's long gone. And then his kid's got to double down. A kid, he's in his 50s, his son Steve.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about this. Drought. Drought. You haven't done anything in 30 years. It's been 29 years since the Cowboys went to the NFC Championship. Well, anyway, this came out in the press conference. There's a lot of press conference because Jerry spoke for 11 minutes before you finally got to hear from his new head coach, Brian Schottenheimer. But listen to this little nugget from RJ Ochoa covering the team. Jerry Jones said he called Steve Spurrier to ask what kind of a ball player Brian Schottenheimer was at the University of Florida.
What does that matter?
Well, as RJ Ochoa points out, well, it was in the mid-90s, like all Dallas Cowboys relevance.
Yeah, exactly. What does that matter?
I mean,
he's got a 14-year assistant coaching career behind him.
He just spent the last 2 years in your building.
Doesn't make sense.
Why would you call? I mean, catch up with the old ball coach, but I mean, what in God's name is Jerry Jones doing?
Yeah.
Not to mention, even if you did it, why would you bring it up? Because it further illustrates you have no idea what you're doing.
No, I agree. That's something he should have kept to himself forever. If you're going to make phone calls to inquire about a guy that's in your building, what's that tell you guys? He hadn't talked to him enough to know whether or not he should potentially hire him, which tells you this was probably a recommendation from his son. Mm. And he went, you sure? What do we really know about Schottenheimer? Well, I'll make some calls. He's been right there. All you had to do was walk down to the office.
Right.
That's what it tells me, Mike, that he has not spent enough time to know or feel comfortable enough that this is the right guy to hire and I'm going to do this. But he would have done it weeks ago if that was the case.
I just saw that and I was like, why? I mean, don't even bring it up, man. Nothing's gained from that. Why? Oh, for God's sakes. Hey, man, we were talking about the way we judge where is the line of scrimmage. Has a ball advanced beyond it to signify a first down? We know we have the Cyclops technology, which baseball is now implementing in the minor leagues, and maybe will eventually go umpire-less behind balls and strikes. But we still have to have a digital line that is then apparently got guys over it, which kind of blocks where the football is, despite even having that camera above everything else, which, you know, once you know it's a run play, the eye in the sky should probably give you a good determining point of view. There is a chip in the football, we learned, because how else would you get all those AWS ads, which shows you the velocity, the RPMs?
Sure.
The chip is actually on the opposite side of where you put the air in the football. But the thing is, they're saying unless you want to try to put more chips in the corner in both pointy ends, are you really going to be able, because you still could have a body of a lineman, a quarterback blocking somehow the sensor getting picked up, unless the technology at some point will exist that can show you it's crossing the, you know, that yellow line that we all know from TV.
Yeah, look, I think that's where ultimately it's going to go. And we're talking about these. They're minuscule. You wouldn't know if you even saw it.
What kind of stuff
are
you using your body when the doctor's got to run something on you?
I feel like this is where it ultimately is going to go, and it takes all of the doubt out of these calls. And you're going to tell me, again, that a 300-pound lineman or bigger is blocking the signal of a microchip? Like, the technology is going to get there, Mike. And hopefully, sooner than later, where they feel comfortable enough to do this, because I hate what happened with Josh Allen the other night, you know, Sunday, when we're watching and we're going, okay, one ref, the other ref, did he get it, did he not get it? Technology could solve all of that.
Yeah, man. By the way, whenever you see like those, I mentioned those AWS ads and, you know, the Amazon, you know, AI and all that stuff, the tech that they're using, apparently they have those RFID tags under the shoulder pad. So if you're wondering how they can judge how fast Saquon Barkley's moving or a receiver, et cetera, that's where they're getting that telemetry from in real time.
Mm.
So that's interesting. So there's definitely, you would imagine at some point, a laser pointer, sensor to your point, somebody can put a sensor in the football and then ping. And you know it's crossed. I mean, that technology kind of already exists.
It does. It does. Yeah, that's why I'm a little surprised.
Now, again, there's line of sight. If there's a beam or something, if somebody physically could block it, I guess I'm not tech savvy enough to know how that would work.
But wouldn't two lasers across the field where the line is supposed to be crossed, couldn't that be, you know, how they do this? Either way, I hope we get to that sooner than later.
Mm. Now, a lot of folks, and we've had fun at this over the years here on Dukes and Bell, and sometimes we get it right, making fun of, Tom Sula, the coach who lasted 1 year in the 49ers, Dan Campbell. We talked about it yesterday. He's obviously carved out a niche and changed the culture in Detroit, although they came up short this year. Sirianni is back to his second Super Bowl in three years.
Yes, he is.
All sounded like buffoons at their introductory press conference. But a lot of folks are feeling that, man, whether it's going to land out, whether this works out at the end, he lands on his feet and he takes Jacksonville back to the playoffs, nobody is giving Liam Cohen anything but heat for his introductory press conference down there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I was not impressed. I think he is, as I said to Mike, he's a nerd. There's nothing wrong with that. He's a very good offensive mind, and that is why people were high on him. I said this to you a couple of weeks ago, Mike. Not this year. Not this hiring cycle. Right. I thought he would be a hot commodity next year. But nevertheless, because of that and his presentation, Mike, he just doesn't come off as a guy that commands the room. Now, again,
Duval.
Does that matter? It may not matter to you, but I'm telling you, it matters to the guys in that locker room when he starts talking and they're like, this is the head coach? Because that's what's going to happen. It doesn't matter how well you draw plays or how well they are executed. Right. You're still talking to 53 men that you need to know. They need to know, right. Hey, we got this. And I didn't get that sense from him.
Right.
Dan Campbell was an idiot, but Dan played, and he was always this demonstrative figure. So guys get they bought into that, Mike. I mean, ultimately, and here's the other thing. Howie Roseman's built a hell of a team for Sirianni. He still says idiot things and tried to cuss out a fan earlier this year. But the team they've built,
right.
It's almost like you're idiot-proof. Don't screw this up.
It's almost Sirianni-proof, and we'll see. Kellen Moore, a lot of folks feel that if it is going to be a job for the Saints, we mentioned this yesterday, that they're just maybe waiting. The only excuse they would have is perhaps Kellen Moore, who maybe has not yet
taken interview. Nobody wants that job.
Nobody's taking the job. As we mentioned, Derek Carr not leaving. Derek Carr said, you'll have to fire me. And then, by the way, the salary cap situation, they're always like that nuance, but it's really bad this year. Real quick. The press conference, it went really well. Everybody seemed to enjoy it. And one guy that was in attendance kind of made it extra special. Did you see who was at Pete Carroll's introductory press conference for the Raiders?
No.
Beast mode. Pete's walking down the hallway, and all of a sudden a guy comes over the show, gives him a grab. Pete turns around, embraces, of course, Marshawn Lynch. You should have won him 2 Super Bowls in Seattle. And in the middle of the press conference, Marshawn goes, Raiders! So everybody loves Beast Mode, but it's kind of cool. Of course, he makes his home in Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, he's from Oakland, I think, originally. Right. And, the Raiders back then, man, that's when everybody had the Raider caps.
Right on.
And it was part of the culture. All right, great stuff, man. Coming up. We are going to talk more about Jeff Ulbrich and his plan to make the Falcons' defense better. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Sink of Truth podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stink of Truth podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.